You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. Scott, Matt's talking to you. Sorry, the camera, because we're not on TV.
Yeah, no, that was great.
It was great. He's looking into a camera that's not on.
That's okay.
Fantastic. Corey, man, how are you? How was your life?
Hey, what's going on, Sussman? July 5th is here. You know what that means. It's time to get rocking and rolling. It's time to get serious. We got a season to attend to, gentlemen.
We certainly do. Scotty, good morning. How are you? How was your day off?
Good, good. Relaxing. I was actually able to see the Macy's fireworks from our window last night.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I also was able to see the Macy's fireworks from where I was.
Yes.
Matt, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's warm outside. The new schedule. Yeah, it's beautiful in here. The new schedule has launched today, so I'm extremely excited.
Matt probably had the best view of the fireworks, though, right?
I didn't see any.
No.
Because the fireworks on the east side?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I heard it, though.
Yeah.
Well, they had some fireworks going uptown, but I don't know if they was from Macy's.
Bang, bang. Seems unlikely. I actually was in Long Island City yesterday. Nice. I saw fireworks from there. It was very cool.
Yeah, one of the restaurants was like doing a promo over there, like, you know, watch the fireworks from the rooftop.
Yeah, I was able to. We went to LIC yesterday and just hung out, like, just my friend's apartments and just. Yeah,
it's really nice by the water. Over
it was.
There.
Yeah. It was. I had never been there. Yeah. It was very nice. I got on that 7 train and. Relaxed. It was good.
You was on the 7 train?
I was.
Wow.
I was. One stop.
Okay.
One stop.
Okay.
Just make sure you weren't wearing your big baller shoes.
one stop from where?
From Grand Central.
Yo.
From Grand Central. Doesn't it go to, Vernon Jackson, Hunters Point, Vernon Jackson?
Correct. Yeah. That's where I was. Yeah. That's right. It's Long Island City.
Yeah.
Did you sit down on the train?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I sat down one way and then stood the other way.
Huh?
I said I sat down one way and stood the other way.
Oh, okay, good.
He was nice clutching job. Onto his wallet the whole time.
Yeah. So on the show today, it's July 5th. It's the day after July 4th, obviously. But that means it is officially our fantasy football kickoff, right? It's day one of fantasy football season. The Roto Experts Exclusive Edge package is available right now. Use free radio when you check out. We'll give you a couple bucks off. Free radio at checkout, Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Because today is the first day of fantasy football season officially. So, gentlemen, I want to turn back the clock. I want to start from the beginning. And that means starting in the first round at the top. We've all kind of skipped over this. We've all kind of assumed it's David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. I start with that, and I ask why. We start from the top, the first round, because it is day one of fantasy football season. We're doing it live, and we're doing it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
So fresh and so clean.
I pause so Corey be able to say that.
Yeah.
Coming. We are so fresh and so clean. A brand new start time, 7 a.m. Eastern. And it's coming up next from 9 to 11. It's Fantasy Football Frenzy with you, sir, Corey Parson, you, sir, Matt Modica, and Jake Seeley coming on in as well as a new schedule takes hold.
The all-in kid.
The all-in kid joins the Fantasy Executive and Wall Street starting at 9 a.m. Eastern time. But, gentlemen, today's our first day of fantasy football season, the day after July 4th, where it all begins again. And that means I want to start at the top. Like, we have dove in. Last week we did ADPs. I talked about number 100 to 200. We've argued over these mid-round running backs. We've argued over PPR guys and standard guys and number 3 wide receivers. I want to go back to the beginning, back where it all starts, and that's with the number one overall pick. When I look at mock drafts, and I look at EDPs, and I look at rankings, it all kind of starts the same. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott in that order. Simple question, Matt. We'll start with you. Is that right?
I see the David Johnson as more of a security. Look, David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, you're not going wrong either way. I've had the number one pick once. I took Le'Veon Bell. It really, and I love David Johnson. David Johnson saved my butt last year. Because in a lot of places, I took Sammy Watkins in the second round. And the teams that had David Johnson, I was able to overcome that. So he is a fantastic player. But Le'Veon Bell outpaced David Johnson. I mean, he finished with five less receptions. He would have had 100 or more targets if he would have played a full season. Yes, there's the concern about the marijuana usage. He did have two previous significant injuries. But this is the best player in fantasy football.
So right now, and I know you've done it in some leagues, if you have your big money league where all the money is on the line, you have the first overall pick. What are you doing?
I'm going with Le'Veon Bell.
You're going with Le'Veon Bell. All right, Corey, is that the right decision?
The Le'Veon Bell is the most dominant offensive player in the NFL. Hands down, I agree with that. The reason why he's being selected number two is, like Matt said, the safety of David Johnson. Le'Veon Bell, as we get closer to the kickoff, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to start going number one as soon as we realize and we, you know, as soon as we are sure that there is not a marijuana suspension coming, I think Le'Veon Bell pushes up to 1-1.
Scotty, you know, both Matt and Corey alluded to the marijuana suspension and Le'Veon Bell's inability to stay off the marijuana, basically. And Le'Veon Bell, as we've documented over the past couple months.
Sorry. Never mind. Go ahead.
Le'Veon Bell, of course, has also been through a myriad of injuries, right? A knee injury. He also left, remember, last year's AFC Championship game. He couldn't play because of a hip. Okay. David Johnson, the last game of the year, we thought his career was over, but we thought it was going to be a major, major knee injury here. And it turned out, you know, it was MCL, and he was fine. Okay, fine. Both these guys had injuries in the last game that they played in 2016. Can an argument be made, sir, that the only guy that had zero injury issues in his career, about being 1 year, is Ezekiel Elliott? Can an argument be made that Ezekiel Elliott should go 1-1?
Well, if you're playing in a standard, maybe there isn't an argument, and you just take Ezekiel Elliott number one. But Ezekiel Elliott just doesn't catch passes like the other guys. Of course, we're hearing the offseason reports about how they want to incorporate him in the passing game. We hear that about everybody, like from Adrian Peterson to Marshawn Lynch over the years, guys that didn't catch passes. We hear that every offseason. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. That is the only reason why I would not take Elliott ahead of the other two, because the other two tend to have more versatility. You have to remember that it's been 1 year for Ezekiel Elliott. It's only been 1 year for David Johnson as a featured back from wire to wire, from start to finish. His first season, he really didn't bust out towards the end of the year. Everybody else was talking about Andre Ellington. Now, I don't think it's crazy to take any of those running backs number one. We've seen a longer injury history from Bell, but only because he's been in the league for more years. But there are no perceived off-the-field issues from David Johnson. You're splitting hairs with these three, but when you have split hairs, you have to come up with some of the negatives, and there are no perceived negatives about David Johnson at all. Well, you have the perceived negatives with Le'Veon Bell of off-field issues, sometimes injuries, and then Ezekiel Elliott doesn't catch enough passes. So by deduction, that's why David Johnson goes number one.
Here's the thing. Let's get into it. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's something behind this Ezekiel Elliott story. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the first. Like, I hate to admit it.
And I'm the guy wearing the Ezekiel Elliott shirt.
I got my Zeke jersey on. You feel what I'm saying? But this thing is taking too long. The NFL is still investigating it. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I think they have something. I think this week, Matt, we're going to start to see Ezekiel Elliott slide down draft boards. I think the NFL could possibly be preparing to suspend Ezekiel Elliott.
Before you say that, though, there's smoke, there's fire. I haven't waited 3 years for a Dez tape that hasn't come out.
Yeah,
that's an excellent point.
There's a lot of smoke there.
A Dez tape did come out, but it was not what they were talking about with what they were trying to see. There was some little foolish tape of Dez Bryant mom crying. Apparently something happened. That it did end up eventually coming out. I think that's, but they act like it was a big deal. This Ezekiel Elliott thing, the girl has already, you know, it's been released that the girl has said, you know, she was going to do something to get him in trouble.
Yes.
But they kept investigating. They're getting more information on this. The NFL is taking a very long time with this. There, I hate to say this, a suspension could very well be coming for Ezekiel Elliott.
Now, Adam Schefter obviously listens to the fantasy executive on this channel because it's not the first time that Corey has said this. And then Adam Schefter came out yesterday and said on the national platform that he wouldn't draft Ezekiel Elliott early in the first round because of this. He says he's spoken to some people. Some people believe it's a thing, and other people don't believe it's a thing. You never, ever, ever know with the NFL how they're going to proceed in any given investigation. You can never compare it to anyone from the past. You never know how they're going to rule. So there's something out there. But if I'm drafting today, I'm not going to draft scared, and I'm still taking Ezekiel in the top three.
Well, let's rewind a second. We got David Johnson versus Le'Veon Bell as the 1-2.
Yep.
And in every national football championship, the NFFC, that has been completed, those have been the top two off the board, number one. But in the one that I'm doing that has not yet to be completed, Antonio Brown went number one overall. I think you will see Antonio Brown go number one overall in certain drafts because he is just the most consistent player. He's on the field all the time. He produces all the time. I'm just saying, don't be shocked if in the PPR formats that you're playing, if you do see Antonio Brown go number one. I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time.
Another thing, Matt is right. In PPR, it's Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. The third pick in PPR should be Antonio Brown. Ezekiel Elliott should be fourth in PPR if he is cleared of any wrongdoings by the NFL. I mean, listen, the thing about it is this time of year is very difficult because 12 is out there. They watching when you go back to your hometowns down there and they're dirty and you got your big cars and stuff like that. 12 is watching. You feel what I'm saying? So this is a time of year where you got a lot of things going on in the NFL that could affect fantasy football as far as suspensions. We just need Ezekiel Elliott to get to training camp. Then that shakes out. But, I mean, this man was grabbing titties in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? And all kind of stuff going on. The car accidents, Ezekiel Elliott is a person that we need to get in training camp as soon as possible.
Here's the other thing about the Antonio Brown versus Ezekiel Elliott is that after those top three, there's a drop-off. And to me, Ezekiel Elliott, I said it before and I'm saying it again, he's one of those backs where, like, in their prime, Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, where they were guys who put up so many yards and so many touchdowns, and Ezekiel did it last year and he can do it again, that he's going to make up for any passes that he doesn't catch. And once you fall off from Ezekiel, there's a definite drop-off at running back. So I'm still comfortable taking him at number three.
If Ezekiel Elliott is suspended for domestic violence for four games, as is my assumption here, maybe that's not fair, but let's assume he's suspended for four games, given what they find. Where do we take Ezekiel Elliott?
Third round?
No,
he's going to be like Le'Veon Bell last year. He'll be like that end of the first round type of on that turn. That's where he's going to fall. And even if he gets a four-game suspension, you figure he'll appeal. It'll go down to three like that usually happens.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't see the NFL dropping a hammer. They haven't done it before for worse things.
I agree.
So I would assume if that does happen, look at last season. Look where Le'Veon Bell was going around that turn. That's where we'll see Ezekiel Elliott go.
Yeah,
should he really go there, though? Because
yes.
You're talking about, you have basically, you're missing like a third of your fantasy season.
Look what Le'Veon Bell did last year.
Le'Veon Bell last year is the perfect example.
He gets out there, let's just say he gets out to on the field week four. He's going to run for 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
Period. This is the end of the story. He's going to run for 1,200 yards.
I have no doubt what he can do when he's there. I'm just saying, four-week layoff, you're talking a third of your season.
Oh, I understand. I made the same exact argument you did last year when it came to Le'Veon Bell, and I was just wrong. You know, he went in my draft, he went in the middle of the second round, which is a little bit lower than he was going some other places, but it wasn't like egregiously wrong. He went in the middle of the second round, and this person who had Le'Veon Bell back after a couple of games had arguably the best player in fantasy, right? And it's off at a fantastic discount.
In a home league I had, we had the turn pick, and my friend, you know, was like, let's take Lamar Miller. I was trying to push for Le'Veon Bell, and that's the difference between winning a championship and not.
That is the definition. Taking Le'Veon Bell over Lamar Miller just sounds so obvious to me. When we come back, we'll talk about that first wide receiver off the board. Matt St. Antonio Brown, right now, in some drafts, going 1-1. But should he be the first wide receiver off the board? We'll talk about that when we return here on the Road Experts in the Morning. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, and we were discussing it during the break. Ezekiel Elliott, and this potential suspension is real, and I threw out their four games. It could be even more significant than that. It's something we're going to have to watch. Right now, I think we're all very comfortable taking Ezekiel Elliott 3, maybe 4, and that's fine. But if he gets suspended, that's a brand new conversation that, of course, we'll get into if it happens. There were some rumors that it could happen before the July 4th holiday. It obviously did not come to fruition. Corey seems to project that it very well could come this week. So we'll see. And obviously keep an eye out for Ezekiel Elliott. That'll be the biggest story in sports if it happens.
I think the most important question, say Zeke did get suspended. Let's throw that hypothetical out there. Who becomes the number 3 running back? Is it Ajayi? Is it Gordon? Is it McCoy? Freeman. That's good.
Before we get into that, though, I want to ask Corey a question, though. What makes you think this week?
Huh?
What makes you think this week?
I think they want to get, because this is the time of year in the NFL when people are taking breaks. Mini camps, OTAs is done. This is the time of year where you see a lot of these kind of decisions come out. So get it done by the end of this week. Send everybody, home for the next couple of weeks. The end of the month, everybody comes back for training camp. So something's got to happen soon. This has been going on for a very long time now. Now, the Columbus Police Department have already cleared them. You know what I'm saying? They said they're not pressing charges. Nothing to see here. But the NFL is continuing to push this investigation.
Now,
what's the NFL going to find if the Columbus Police Department didn't find anything?
The NFL is probably going talking right to the woman.
Correct. Now, Matt, you brought up an interesting question that I want to dive into, but not in the way I think you're thinking. You said, who becomes the number 3 running back? I don't think it matters. I don't think anything changes, right? So you had Ezekiel Elliott as your top 3. Well, if you take Ezekiel Elliott out of the equation, let me answer your question. Because my point was going to be that I don't think it matters who the number 3 running back is. Because you're still going to take him around the same spot. We're still going to like the wide receivers before. And we're going to talk about where we have the Melvin Gordons, the Devontae Freemans, the LeSean McCoys, the Jay Ajayis, like how we rank those guys. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But to just simply answer your question, who becomes number 3 running back if Ezekiel Elliott's suspended? If he suspended 4 games that I threw out earlier, I think the answer is still Ezekiel Elliott.
You're probably right.
I don't know. I've seen in the drafts I've done, there always seems to be one person willing to take that running back in that 6-8 range.
Okay.
Whether it be McCoy, Gordon. I've seen Jordan Howard go 7th overall.
Okay.
So I think somebody is going to take a running back in that spot, which is perceived maybe a little earlier than say, the 9 to the 12.
Yep.
So that's going to be, Jay Ajayi is just flying up. He will be cemented as a first-round pick. I've seen Chris List say he's going to be a top 10. That could possibly happen. But, to me, the consensus from what I've seen out there is McCoy's the number 4. I would probably go with Gordon or maybe even Ajayi. I'm really starting to drink this Kool-Aid. As my 4th running back off the board.
All right, so then let's do it now that you brought it up here. Okay, after the big 3, let's say Ezekiel is not suspended. Mm-hmm. So let's just throw that out. I'll get back to the wide receivers in a second. You have this glut. You have this tier of Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman, Jay Ajayi, LeSean McCoy, and let's throw Jordan Howard in there as well. Mm-hmm. You have this tier of 5 running backs. I think every other running back, like DeMarco Murray, is probably a little bit after that, I think. So you have this tier of 5 running backs after the first 3 that, as you have just said, Matt, go anywhere from number 6 overall into the middle of the 2nd round, depending on the draft you're in and how much you like them. Scotty, let's start over here with you. Those 5 running backs, Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman, Jay Ajayi, LeSean McCoy, and Jordan Howard, how would you, sir, rank them?
I would go Freeman, McCoy, which would almost be a tie.
Okay.
Then I would probably go Gordon, and it was Ajayi and
Howard.
Ajayi and Howard. That's how I would rank them. Freeman would be my slightly preferred.
Okay. Freeman, McCoy, Ajayi, Gordon, Ajayi, Howard. Corey?
I'm going to go Melvin Gordon because I like Anthony Lynn. They're going to be he's going to run the football this year, and he's going to run for well over 1,000 yards this season, and he'll catch passes. I got Devonta Freeman just because he's a beast altogether next. I moved Shady up about a month or so ago because I think the pass catching is going to be there. And then I have Todd Gurley.
Okay.
That's where I'm probably going to be different than everybody else. I think Todd Gurley is in for a bounce back season. I don't mind starting a draft something like Mike Evans, Todd Gurley. I'll do it.
What's interesting, because that means given that you will start your draft like that, that means you're significantly lower on the other running backs that you did not name compared to the wide receivers that are there, because you're talking about in the middle of the second round because you're taking Mike Evans in the middle of the first. That means you're going to pass on a lot of these running backs, or hope they go, basically, by the time you draft your second round pick.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you said, I hope they're going. I hope DeMarco Murray's going. Jordan Howard, I worry about a sophomore slump. Jay Ajayi, I haven't really bought into it yet. And, you know, I saw an article the other day where Ryan Tannehill was like, this is the best offense the Dolphins is that he's been with as a part of the Dolphins. And I'm thinking to myself, is Matt Moore the starting quarterback? You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing. Matt Moore could be the Dolphins' starting quarterback at some point this season if they decide to bench Ryan Tannehill, and that would make Devonta Parker a much better option. But then I got Jay Ajayi at 11, so that's where I'm at.
See, I said that last year, and then when Moore got in there, and
he took him to the playoffs.
I felt like he's the quarterback. Moore's just too erratic. He throws a deep ball better than Tannehill, but I feel like Tannehill's better with the higher percentage passes.
Does it really affect Jay Ajayi anyway, though? See what I'm saying? Because Jay Ajayi is the player we're talking about.
I think Tannehill can consistently move the offense better than Moore.
I think you're probably right about that. Yeah. Matt, how would you rank those five guys?
I would go Gordon, Ajayi, McCoy, Freeman, and then Howard. And this is the thing with McCoy. I love McCoy. I'm a Bills fan. Look, that yards per carry is going to come down.
Yep.
And everybody's saying, well, Gillislee's gone. Shady's going to get all these touchdowns.
Nope.
Jonathan Williams is going to be Mike Gillislee 2017. That was the role I thought he was going to play last season. He's in there. They're going to use both of them. And Rick Dennison is going to use the passing game. Rick Dennison didn't even look at the Bills' offensive scheme last year. He came out and said, I'm not even looking at that. I think the passing game will... Look, they're still going to run the ball. They got five returning offensive linemen. They know how to do that. If the Bills are ever going to make the playoffs, they need to improve the pass game as well.
Both you, Matt, and you, Corey, have Melvin Gordon as your number four running back.
This is why. Because, I mean, Anthony Lynn is coming there. He's not going to change the whole offense. There's still Ken Whitson. He's going to put his fingerprints on it. He's going to put his blocking schemes in there. And another thing, too, two out of the last three seasons, Philip Rivers has either led or tied the NFL in interceptions. They want to win games. That's becoming a tough defensive
division.
Yes, thank you, Corey. So in that second half, they're going to look to ground and pound sometimes instead of having to throw all the time and lose some games. They lost a lot of close ones early. There's a lot of games they could have won, should have won, and I think you're going to see that play out. And as Corey mentioned, when Anthony Lynn gets his fingerprints, he's not going to be taking over everything. But if he gets that scheme in there, Forrest Lamb could be one of the biggest rookies, because if he can really get the job done, because they do need some help on that line, that could really be a big factor.
All right, I've heard all the positives here.
We have yet to see the best of Gordon.
Right, keep talking over me. Fine. Yeah. I hear all the positives here about Melvin Gordon, right? And every time I bring this up, it's all Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn. I can give you the big negative that we're kind of avoiding. At no point in his career has Melvin Gordon averaged over 4 yards a carry.
Correct.
Never.
But now he's got a quarterback. He's got a proven veteran. I mean, Philip Rivers,
he's had that. It hasn't changed.
Well, I mean,
same quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at like the Bills, Tyrod Taylor was under wraps and stuff. And
sure, but you're telling me the offense isn't going to change that much because Ken Whisenhunt's still there. Anthony Lynn's going to ground and pound guy. I got that. All I want to throw out there is that Melvin Gordon has never averaged over 4 yards a carry. 2 years ago, zero touchdowns. Last year, 10. Let's split the difference here.
It's not about Melvin Gordon. It's about the system. It's about the system where the Buffalo Bills averaged the most yards per game running. When he was in New York, they averaged the most yards per game running the football. The track record states when he gets to San Diego, they're going to average the most yards. It's the blocking schemes. It's going to free everything up for Melvin Gordon.
But as Matt just pointed out, he's never had a quarterback like Philip Rivers. He had Mark Sanchez and he had Tyrod Taylor.
He's still going to run the football. That's what he's brought there for. Like how when Paul Pierce was like, that's what they brought me here for a couple years ago when he was in D.C., Anthony Lynn, 137 yards rushing per game from his offenses, that's what they brought him here for.
Scotty,
why would you get that job and then go away from your strength?
I don't think he's going away from his stuff, but Melvin Gordon ran the ball 254 times last year and he only played 13 games. So he would have been over 300 carries if he would have played the 16 games. So he ran that ball a heck of a lot last year.
He really only played 12. He got hurt very early.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So he would have been over 300 carries at the point. So he was given the ball a ton last year, and he still didn't average 4 yards a carry. Isn't that a concern?
Well, he talks about Forrest Lamp. If the offensive line can improve and they can take to these schemes, that is the key. But you have to have a good outlook, because I think we haven't seen the best of Melvin Gordon as a pure runner, because he hasn't gotten ideal blocking. Here's a coach and a system will play more to his strengths. Rivers is not getting any younger, and as many times as he turned the ball over in key situations, to Matt's point last year, you want to have more run-pass offensive balance than I think they've had in the past. So they've got a lot of good receivers, good receiving depth, but just because I had Gordon third, you know, I like him maybe a little bit behind the other two, but I can see him only getting better in terms of yardage because of the system, and I think there's a desire to have more offensive balance. Phillip Rivers is getting older. You want to take some more pressure off him.
But I'm just really not sure how we can keep talking about this balance thing. Melvin Gordon had 254 carries in 12 games last year. That is balance.
Okay, yeah, but I think Gordon's yards per carry will go up. I think Shady's will go down. And what's kind of criminal here is the one guy we're not talking about is DeMarco Murray. He's not in this group. What is it? 3 out of the last 4 years, finished a top 7 running back. He's in that exotic smash mouth. He's in an offense that is improving. They brought in some pass cat, you know, they drafted a wide receiver. They brought in Decker. So, I mean, I think Murray needs to be included. I know everybody talks about Henry, but Murray's still the man.
Would you put him in this tier?
I think he deserves to be in there. I mean, it's maybe some preference for people, and people are worried about Henry, but I think people are sleeping on Murray, too.
Yeah, well, I might actually take him over Jordan Howard, DeMarco Murray.
You okay.
I forgot I was talking about off the air with this. It might have been Matt. I'm not sure. But, you know, Derrick Henry is there, but, you know, Murray's still going to do what he's going to do, and he can score from anywhere on the field.
Scotty, you and Corey brought up points of being Marco Murray over Howard. Corey's nervous about Jordan Howard. Let's get into Jordan Howard on the other side. I put him in this tier. Maybe I should have put Murray instead of Howard. But let's get into Jordan Howard a little bit, because he's sneaking up draft boards, and I feel like you guys think he's sneaking down. Let's talk about Jordan Howard when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Just a half hour will be picked up by the Fantasy Sports Network live on television.
Yeah.
Of course. And we're having this discussion because it's the first day of fantasy football season. So we are having the discussion in regards to the first round. And we started at the top three running backs. And then we wanted to break off into the next tier. And you guys all gave your rankings, and I've realized, I guess, through this, that I'm more with Scott and his rankings, I think. I would have Devontae Freeman. Then I would have LeSean McCoy. Then I would have Melvin Gordon, then Jay Ajayi, then Jordan Howard. And I noticed that we all have Howard last in this grouping. You, Corey, have Todd Gurley over him.
Yep.
You, Sir Matt, have DeMarco Murray over him. Scotty, I don't know. Do you have Gurley? I don't know where you have Gurley and Murray.
I have Murray and Howard both over Gurley.
Okay, so you have Murray over Howard, though.
Yes.
Okay, so you also have DeMarco Murray over Jordan Howard. I don't, but that's fine. Why do we all hate Jordan Howard?
I don't think we hate him. I think he was fantastic last season.
What
he did, and that offensive line isn't terrible. He's not running behind a horrible offensive line. I think what we're looking here, and what I think everybody, at least I'm scared of, but I think most people are, is if Mike Glennon gets removed and it's Mitchell Trubisky, and you got a really green quarterback with, you know, what, 13 starts in college, that's going to make it really difficult. That's a possible, like, Jeff Goff kind of Jared Goff. But that's, you're kind of looking at like a Rams-based offense, possibly.
Well, let's remember, though, Scott, that his quarterback last year was Matt Barkley for most of his time here. This is Matt Barkley, who couldn't be in the NFL. And, you know, Jordan Howard put up the numbers. Let me read them to you in case we don't remember how good they were. Last year, in 252 attempts in 15 games, remember, he didn't start the year as a starter, 1,300 yards and 6 touchdowns. Now, he's going to obviously be the unquestioned starter. He's going to get every opportunity. I look at this more like Corey does, I think, in that Jordan Howard, a sophomore slump could be here. That, like, maybe he isn't as good as we saw last year and gained a little weight type thing, put on more muscle, all that nonsense. And I'm hesitant about it. But these numbers indicate, Scotty, that Jordan Howard, 1,300 yards as a rookie running back, which, you know, right up there with Ezekiel Elliott, no one's talking about Jordan Howard, maybe we should trust him a little bit more.
Well, now I'm not looking at his sophomore slump, you know, blanket across the board. I got to look at the situation. Now, he kind of snuck up on people last year. I don't think so. Well, I'm saying he kind of snuck up, you know, on his opponents last year. I don't think anybody expected him to be that good as he was. I think defenses, you know, the coaches are going to watch film in the offseason, especially when they own division, and they're going to say, you know, how can we stop this guy? And the problem with me four is I don't even go to Trubisky. I don't know if Glennon, with that core of receivers, is going to strike fear in the hearts of any defense, and can it even keep defenses honest? It's a very good offensive line, but, you know, I look at it as much as a situation where, like, Isaiah Crowell, where you got a very talented running back behind a good offensive line. The passing game isn't as... The passing game is... The quarterback situation is better, but I think Cleveland has better receivers. To me, it's an almost equal situation where Jordan Howard may not be quite on that tier, where he more might be on that next tier with Isaiah Crowell for me, because I don't think the offense is going to be all that balanced or all that good. I think the Bears' defense still has a lot of holes. They're going to play from behind, too. So looking at the situation overall, I don't like it. As talented as the guy is, he busts through a hole. He has great vision. He can break tackles. But, you know, defenses know that is coming.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have him ninth overall. And I think after him, it kind of drops down to me. The next thing is Fournette versus Gurley after Jordan Howard. But he is a guy that I'm willing to take. And I'm not that apprehensive. I understand the sophomore slump. Like I said, I think Glennon can be a quarterback who can get the job done. Like you say, for fantasy purposes, he's going to get a lot of opportunities. As you said, the defense is still not good, so they're going to be playing from Jordan. I mean, Jordan Howard did get 50 targets and 29 receptions last year, so that can move up. You know, he also didn't get the full start of the season. You know, he didn't come in week one as the starter and stuff. So I don't want to sell him short on that. So to me, after Jordan Howard is where it kind of breaks, and then you got to make that decision: are you a Fournette guy? Are you a Gurley guy?
And what one point I want to make about Howard, not in terms of the yardage, but the touchdowns, like we don't take this away, of course, but people always bring it up about Jai. He scored half his touchdowns in one game, and I don't know if he's going to score as many touchdowns as guys like Ajayi and DeMarco Murray, et cetera.
See, the thing, but I don't worry about touchdowns. I
think of that offense, I will.
I want the opportunity to touch the football, and he's going to get a lot of those. Touched 252 times last year, and like you said, didn't get a full workload. Also interesting is he had eye surgery in the offseason because he wants to catch the football better this year. I just look at a dude that snuck up on people last year. I don't think this is another 1,300-yard season. I think he probably is an 1,100-yard season. I think he's going to do good, but I just worry about the sophomore slump that attacked Todd Gurley last year, the sophomore slump that we've seen hit players in the past. I know it's a blanket statement, but you got to think about it and look at it, not to mention the fact it's going to be a lot. This is the only guy on this offense that can beat anybody. It's going to be Jordan Howard. Like Scott said, he's not sneaking up on nobody this year. I'm bumping him down a little bit. Listen, if he's there late in the second, he slides, it's a good chance I'll jump on him, but that's kind of the way I'm at. I'd rather have him as a running back two on one of my teams than as my rock solid RB one. So, listen, Isaiah Crowell, I might do it over Jordan Howard.
So what's interesting to me is last year Todd Gurley was a consensus early round pick,
top half of the first round,
exactly, consensus, right?
Yeah.
Other than touchdowns, Jordan Howard was better than him in every single way last year.
Yeah, he's a rookie running back. A rookie running back came into the league, and he did his thing. I'm not going to take nothing away from him on that. But I'm expecting Todd Gurley to have a bounce-back year this year. See,
I'm not trying to compare Gurley and Howard this year yet. All I'm saying is, last year, when he was going in the top five, Jordan Howard's rookie numbers were better than Gurley's from 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, Todd Gurley's situation was so pitiful. Oh, Todd Gurley, look how many games Todd Gurley played. He came in after the ACL surgery. What did he play? Started playing in week six, and he went off. Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott are the best running backs to come into the NFL in the last 10 years.
Todd Gurley.
Not Jordan Howard.
Gurley had just 25 less carries.
He had 25 less carries?
That's it.
What was the yards per pop?
Yards per pop
from his rookie season.
Yards per pop from Gurley's rookie season was 4.8. Howard was 5.2.
That's crazy.
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I feel you, but I don't know. I just see some regression.
The crazy thing though that we spoke about though is like Frank Gore was better than Gurley last year.
And I understand that. Yeah. But what Howard is costing you right now, for the most of us, I know Matt, you said he's going for some people in the middle of the first round. I understand that. But for a lot of us, Jordan Howard's going on the turn. When you're getting a guy that last year ran for 1,300 yards, 6 touchdowns, caught another 30 balls for 300 yards, and had eye surgery to improve that, I think you're getting at the end of the first round a guy that has a true ability to be a top five running back.
I think you make a good point. Look, from week 3 to week 16, week 3 is when he really, you know.
Yeah, when he started.
Huh? I mean, he was 8th in carries, 8th in points for a running back in PPR. Look, the guy to me is, without a doubt, I wouldn't be opposed if I had to start him as my number one running back. I'm probably not the guy that's going to do it. I'd probably go the two wide receivers if I'm picking later.
Okay.
You know, if I can get an A.J. Green Dez, an A.J. Green T.Y., something like that, or even Jordy, but however it works out.
The season was great. There's no science to what I'm saying. I'll be honest with you. Okay. I'm just avoiding the soul. I'm trying to avoid it.
I understand what Corey's saying.
And with all due respect, Greg,
sure.
Two key words in there for me. Last year, we're projecting forward. I don't know if I could see the same kind of season for this kid.
But why?
I gave you all the reasons.
But your reasons are kind of the same reasons that you have with every team. That you don't like running backs on bad teams. I mean, that's in summarization of it, right? Like you don't like.
I don't know if I necessarily.
You don't like Carlos Hyde on the Niners. You don't like Isaiah Crowell because he's on the Browns.
I'm not totally writing off Isaiah Crowell.
You're not writing off, but you
like him less than other people.
We've had many arguments on this table that you like him more than other people because of the team he plays for, and I don't think that's fair because we saw Jordan Howard on a terrible Bears team last year have 1,300 yards.
Right. You got to like that offensive line.
I do like the offensive. I'm just saying I don't like Jordan Howard as much as everybody else. I don't think he's going to be top five. Second round, I'm good with taking him.
I understand that. Yeah. And you can say everybody else, but everybody at this table is with you, right? Like everybody at this table outside of me is with you. So I'm the high guy on Jordan Howard only because the biggest negative I see is what Corey's saying.
Sophomore slump.
There's no science. There's no numbers. It's just a sophomore slump.
Let me ask you this, Scott.
To me, it's not sophomore slump as much as it's situation.
Right. I'm sorry, Corey. What you're saying, Scotty, it's not a sophomore slump. It's situation. But if I'm buying the situation, right, and I'm kind of taking your narrative, right? The sophomore slump depends on the person. It's not necessarily a real thing. It's narrative more than anything else. Yeah. And I'm buying the situation. I have nothing I should hate about Jordan Howard.
If you're but I'm not buying the situation.
I'm not saying you are.
That's the difference between us.
Absolutely. The difference between us is just that sophomore.
Yeah, the situation is perfect. You feel what I'm saying,
right.
Scott? What do you feel
about?
I don't
think the situation is perfect when you have a passing game like that.
They had that passing game last year. Scott,
people are going to be preparing for it though. They're going to come out.
Jay Cutler was on the team last year, which is different.
He didn't play the second half of the year.
They're going to come out first week. There's a difference to me, I think, in the NFL when you come out first week and preparing for that guy right away before it says boom, he just flew out of like nowhere.
How about this? I mean, they're ranked number 5 by Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus says they have the best interior offensive line right now.
So that's
a positive. That's something
that's good for the situation. Where would you draft a man in a standard, Scott?
In a standard?
See a first rounder in a standard?
No. I don't think he scores more than 7 rushing touchdowns.
It's six last year.
That offense is going to sputter.
I think they know
that he's the engine that makes him run now. They've been preparing for him all offseason.
I'm going to move Jordan Howard on my board after this conversation. I didn't realize how good he was last year, and I think he's going to be just as good this year. We take a break from the football for 1 second. We get the Roto Experts at the park. Next, here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Experts in the morning, we're hanging out with you here on a Wednesday, July 5th. Coming up in 5 minutes from now, the Roto Experts head to TV on the Fantasy Sports Network. But first, we head at the park with Scott Engel. And Scotty, you had an opportunity to talk to Philly starting pitcher Aaron Nola last week.
Yeah, and you can listen to the entire interview on demand, Google Play, iTunes, Audio Boom. And I'll have an article up with it this week with all my Phillies interviews on rotoexperts.com where you can easily check them out. But I spoke to Nola about, you know, even when he was on the DL for a little bit, the batting average against has dropped him every month, .317 in April, .242 in May, and 220 in June. I asked him why he was progressively improving every month. And here it is.
Average against you has gone down every single month. You feel like you're getting more effective as the year goes on?
Yeah, I'm just trying to go deep in games and try to keep my pitch count down as best as possible going through each inning, and I just try to take it inning by inning.
Yeah, so Nola's a guy over the last three starts has really shined. Against Pittsburgh on July 3rd, 7 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts. Against Seattle, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 walks, 9 strikeouts. St. Louis, 7 to 3rd innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts. You know, you look over the past month plus, and he has only allowed more than 3 runs just once in a start against Arizona. He has been terrific. He has won all 3 of his last starts. I was on the DL earlier this year, but now he's really starting to hum now.
Yeah, as a baseball fan, I'd like to see Aaron Nola stay healthy.
And Steven Matz
stay healthy. I mean, I think the correlation to the two is just, you know, 2 really good young arms that have had problems staying healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. We've been doing this thing since March, right? Where we're comparing Steven Matz and Aaron Nola, and I think both have had a lot of success when they are healthy. And Scotty, you talked to him, and you threw it out there just now, just how good he can be and how he's just rolling along. And so is Steven Matz. And it's just, that is the thing with these two guys. If they can stay healthy, they can both be very, very successful pitchers. And I hope they both do for the long run here.
Yeah, Matz went toe-to-toe with Strasburg the other day and was pretty much matching him, you know, and not as many strikeouts as Strasburg, but still, he's been very, very effective. The Phillies are an interesting team to watch. They have a lot of young talent. You know, now that Noel is healthy, et cetera, you don't know who the closer is. It's Nerys, if anybody. But, you know, they got guys like Altair. Tommy Joseph has started to slump lately. And, again, I'm seeing, like, talk of him being sent to the minors, but not with the kind of surge that he had over the last month and a half. I think he's that kind of power hitter that, you know, will be hot and then cold and then hot and then cold. You know, they're good fantasy players on this team.
I think the Phillies need him to stay healthy the rest of the season.
They certainly do. Yeah. A couple of other baseball notes here from this past, I was going to say the weekend, but really from yesterday. on July 4th, Carlos Correa left the game with a thumb injury, sliding in headfirst to home plate. We got to stop doing that. It looks like X-rays are negative. He actually hopes to play today. More tests to be run, but he hopes that he's okay. Mark Trumbo left the game with a bruised left calf.
Yeah, we saw the return of Freddie Freeman yesterday.
At third base.
Earlier than we expected.
I hate the home plate rule. I hate that people have to slide into it. It's once somebody like rips his leg up or breaks a hand and it's a star player, you'll see that change.
What do you want the rule to change to?
Look, the catcher doesn't need to block the plate if there's not a play at the plate. And I honestly, maybe I'm a caveman, but I don't have a problem with them having
running him over.
Yeah, no, I don't. I really don't. And maybe that's caveman mentality. People are going to say I understand that. But, I mean, I've seen Mike Socha do it. Other people do it for years, do it correctly.
Also, Zach Britton back tonight.
Zach Britton does come back tonight, yeah. And so does Joe Musgrove. So just get pumped and ready for that.
Stay tuned to the BFFs later for
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Fantasy Football Best Friends now. When we come back, we'll reset the program, get back into the first round, talk some wide receivers in hour number 2. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Wednesday, July 5th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King, Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica in the shirt and tie today. I am Greg Sussman. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, part of the Roto Experts in the Morning Block here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Corey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, here we go. July 5th, you know what I'm saying? Got a lot of stuff to get into, a lot of stuff to talk about. It's fantasy football season. It's day one of the season. We'll be talking this stuff all the way. It'd be Christmas time. We'll still be talking, but we'll have some answers by Christmas time.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, Scott will be back on the winning path by Christmas time.
Hopefully, Scott, thank you, as well.
That's the important thing.
Hopefully, I can say that about Corey. He won't start 0-9 this year like he did last year.
I win chips. You already know. Let's
get it.
You
already know. Started 0-9 last year, but the holiday is over. But today starts a new holiday for us fantasy football players.
It is officially fantasy football season, which means you need to purchase your exclusive Edge fantasy football package right now from RotoExperts.com. Use free radio when you check out because it is not just a draft package. It is a full season package that you're getting for a very low price, and it's even lower when you use free radio when you check out. Maddie, what's up, man?
I'm excited. Today's the new launch of the new program schedule. Let's get this done, man. Football is here. If you haven't been getting into it, now is the time. You know, you got to get involved. Like Greg just said, get the package, and let's just do it.
The Roto Experts Block, brand new. We are on the radio from 7 to 9 on your television screens right now. Of course, from 8 to 10. Because the Roto Experts Block includes both the Roto Experts in the Morning and the Fantasy Football Frenzy, which begins anew today. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, Jake Celia, call a guest, which will be awesome today, Corey.
Yeah, if you're talking some D.C. football, my guy Mike Jones from the Washington Post, find out what's going on with that running game, that situation out there. Also, how he thinks these targets are going to shake out in D.C., Kirk Cousins' contract situation. Our guy Tommy G will be joining the program, you know what I'm saying? Haven't heard from him in a while. A lot of rumors going on about kids, so we want to see what's up with him. Been knowing him for a long time, so he definitely wanted to get back. So got a lot of stuff coming up. And then you know, we got the big story in fantasy is we got to figure out what the deal is with Ezekiel Elliott, you know what I mean? So talked about it on the radio earlier this morning, but now the people was watching on TV. Good morning, Canada. You know what I'm saying? Ezekiel Elliott, it could be some little bit of troubles.
And if you missed any of our Ezekiel Elliott conversation, you can actually listen to that just that bit back on demand on the Fantasy Radio app or on iTunes or on Google Play. Wherever you're listening to us right now on the radio, you can listen to exactly what we had to say in regards to Ezekiel Elliott and his value in fantasy drafts, both if he's suspended and if not. But when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, let's get back into the first round. It's the first day of fantasy football season. Let's get back into the first round. Let's start with the top wide receivers and where we have them ranked and where we should have them ranked. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning continuing on here in the 8 o'clock hour right after this. Roto Experts in the Morning is back here with you on a Wednesday. I got a little Fantasy Shopping Network voice there by accident, which you can check
love
out,
it.
Which you can check out on YouTube whenever you get a chance.
Subscribe.
Definitely subscribe to the Fantasy Sports Network on YouTube. You can also watch the Fantasy Football Best Friends every single weekday morning at 11 a.m. on the Fantasy Sports YouTube account.
Fantasy Football Best Friends, something me and Scott are not.
No. My favorite non-Matt Modica show.
Really? BFF's got you covered, man.
There you go.
Now, Antonio Brown.
AB84.
You are seeing Matt in certain drafts go 1-1. See him go at the top. If not at the top, as the first wide receiver off the board. Should he be? I know it's a question that's like kind of dumb, but I don't know if it is. Because Antonio Brown last year, let's just compare him to Odell Beckham for a moment. He had 5 more catches than Odell. He had 80 less yards than Odell. He had 2 more touchdowns than Odell. Very, very similar numbers, obviously. But the one quote-unquote negative when it comes to Antonio Brown is that this Steelers offense hasn't been whole in a very long time. To get Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown, and Bryant all on the field together, it's been years, plural, where all 4 of those guys have been back on the field. I get it. I understand how good of a player AB is, how talented he is. But that is a lot of malice to feed. When you have Le'Veon Bell going, arguably, as we said in hour number 1, first overall in the draft, and then Antonio Brown arguably going second, you can make the argument for overall in the draft. That is a lot of fantasy points that go between these two guys. And I know some of us at this table really like Martavis Bryant too. The Steelers aren't putting up 50 points a week. We have to understand that. Their road struggles have been documented. Matt, can there be a case made that Antonio Brown should not be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football?
I don't think so, because I think his consistency, and the thing I looked up too, because I'm worried about Ben's road splits. I mean, it's a thing. It's not, you can't say, well, you know, this is something that has happened. But like you say, if the killer bees are intact. But I did check Brown, Antonio Brown, home versus road, and he was pretty much
Same guy.
Even guy across the board. So, and look, he's been one of the most consistent. He's put up some of the best fantasy wide receiver in history. He's done it multiple times.
So I actually have these 2016 splits in front of me, and you're absolutely right. They're basically the same. Home, he got 54 balls for 591 and 6. Away, 52 balls for 693 and 6.
Yeah, I mean, same guy. Really, look, as far as when you say for your first round pick, you don't want to bust, you want to make sure you get the production there, I think this guy is the pick. But for me, I mean, if I was guaranteed 16 games from every receiver, say we did like one of those projections, and everybody plays 16 games, to me, Julio Jones would be the number one guy. But Julio Jones has that foot injury. I'm not going to let Julio slip too far. I'm just not going to do it. As much as I'm hesitant, I've taken Beckham ahead of Julio last month in a draft I did where I had the fifth pick. But, I mean, it's tough because that offense is so good. It's indoors. And I don't think it's going to change.
Scotty?
Yeah, you look at the last 4 years for Antonio Brown, and he's earned that spot at the top. You look at it, he's played 16 games, except for last year he played 15. In all four of the seasons, he's been well over 100 yards receiving, except for last year. Last year was actually a down year for him compared to the last three, and he's still at 106 for 1,284. You're talking about a guy at 14, 1,600, 1,800 yard seasons. He's got 43 touchdown passes in the last 4 years. He's only 28 years old. The numbers could easily go back up this year to the point where he dwarfs everybody else. It's not a knock on the other two guys. It's just Antonio Brown has clearly earned that, you know, distinction of over the last 4 years of just being that guy. He's safe. We've seen Martavis Bryant in action before, and Antonio Brown still gets his. Antonio Brown is always going to get his, no matter what the situation is around him. And I think, you know, you look for negatives, you really can't find any with him.
I think
you're trying to create them. With Odell Beckham Jr., you know, you got Brandon Marshall. Some people may perceive that. And now you got DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard in Tampa Bay. So, you know, I don't see any perceived negatives with Antonio Brown with the situation. He's done it every single year, even with the Roethlisberger home road splits.
It'd be 115 to 125 receptions. The kid is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. It's been that way for quite a few years right now. No longer undervalued, no longer underrated. AB84 is the guy. The problem is Ben Roethlisberger's health. If Ben Roethlisberger misses a couple games, then you'll see a dip in production. Landry Jones can play. Me seeing Landry Jones make sure he gets AB the ball, but it's not the same. If Ben plays 16 games, Sun can catch 130 passes.
So there is no dispute to you?
No, there's no reason to. Okay. I think he should be in a tier by himself.
Okay, and that's fine. So where everyone at the table thinks AB, without question, is the number one wide receiver. Fine. Then you get to the next guys.
That's when it gets tough.
And that's where it gets tough for Corey. I don't think it gets tough for any of us, but it gets tough for you, which I find very interesting. Because I think, without question, Odell Beckham Jr. should be next. You don't agree?
No, I think you can make a case for Mike Evans. Mike Evans is super talented, great offense, quarterback up and coming, team looking to do big things. You see the chemistry, the rapport that him and Jameis have together already for these past couple years now. It's only going to get better. You add the weapons to the offense. Now, Jameis is not forcing the ball to Mike Evans in triple coverage. I just think that, you know, this is, he's not going to have, I mean, how many targets did he have last year? Evans had 172?
172.
He's not going to have 172 targets, but the targets that he is still going to be in the 120s or 130s, and guess what? They're going to be higher quality targets. So I love him. I think he can score 15 touchdowns to go along with a 90-something receptions.
This team has to, both these guys are very similar. You look at both last year and this year. The yardage was close. The receptions were close. The touchdowns were close. The situations are very close this year. You're getting Brandon Marshall in New Jersey, and you're getting Mike Evans over in Tampa Bay. Neither of these teams, you depend on them running the ball. They're very, very close. This is like a complete toss-up to me. The one thing is, though, you know, with Evans, like, does it go down a little bit? But it might go down a little bit for Beckham, too. So I'm good with either one of these guys, really.
I mean, look at Mike Evans. I think we're starting to push him down. Like, look, he's not going too far down. But I think everybody's kind of saying, I think DeSean Jackson helps him. DeSean Jackson isn't going to get, like, more than 100 targets. If he, you know, so he's not one of those type of receivers. And if you look at Evans and you want to say maybe 2015 Mike Evans, just increase those touchdowns. Because he's not a 3-touchdown guy. He's going to be a double-digit touchdown guy, in my opinion. Maybe it's not 12. It's more like 10. But I think everything he's done, if you look at his 3-year average, you want to give, say, 148 targets, 79 catches, 1,200 yards, and 9 touchdowns, that's pretty good. I don't really see why everybody's knocking this guy. They don't have a running game. I'm not a believer in Doug Martin. And like I said, I think he gets helped by DeSean Jackson and not hurt.
Yeah, people looking at it the other way. Like, he's saying, why are the people knocking him down? Because they perceive DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard. But the same thing is happening for Odell Beckham as well. You know, very similar situation. So these guys are still 2 to 3 to me. I toss a coin about which one you want.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Matt, do you think Brandon Marshall hurts Odell?
I think maybe he could hurt him a little, but I think that's another thing that I can't. It's not going to hurt him too much. I think it helps him in other ways too, because they're going to have to pay attention to him. He's a proven guy. Look, he's coming off a bad year last year. The year before that, he was pretty damn good, and you know, so he's a proven guy, and Eli can't just have to focus on him. I think that helps them a lot.
Here's the best way you can answer that. It helps both of them from an NFL perspective. They won't face as many double teams. But it hinders them a little bit from a fantasy perspective, but not enough to knock them down so much. I think you see more big plays from both guys, and maybe the receptions go down a little bit.
Yeah. Evans just caught 74 passes 2 years ago, and he had 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
this is just crazy.
I look at Odell's numbers, and I think Mike Evans is obviously improving as Jameis Winston continues to improve. I think Odell, for the first time last year, went over 100 receptions. I don't think that changes. I think as long as his head is on straight, he's arguably the best wide receiver in the National Football League.
And I also think A.J. Green needs to be...
One thing that could split the difference for me...
He's arguably the best wide receiver in the National Football League. His head's
one thing
on straight.
Is not better than Antonio Brown.
You could absolutely make an argument.
I think this year he could have a better season than it. I wouldn't be sure.
He had more yards last year than Antonio Brown.
I think the biggest negative for him is Eli Manning. He's been the weakest link.
Sure.
The one thing that could split the difference for me is that Marshall could catch passes in the red zone, and DeSean Jackson can't. So it might boost Evans over Odell for me.
Totally fair point. Totally fair point.
But A.J. Green needs to be in this conversation as well.
So you think? So you believe then that A.J. Green should be the number the next wide receiver, number 4?
I'm happy if I get anyone, you know, after Brown, there is 4 for me. So that's why I don't mind having, like, if I have the 9th pick and it's A.J. Green.
But I believe, Matt, like, in early drafts, if you had, after Antonio Brown and the 3 running backs go, you've taken Odell Beckham next.
You know, I've taken Beckham number 2, second wide receiver.
Okay, yes. So you've taken Beckham.
But I'm saying I think Green deserves to be in this argument.
You've taken Beckham. I think Evans is next. I know Corey disagree there, but I want to know who's next. I know who you have, Corey. And now you say
I changed it over the weekend.
Really?
I changed it over the weekend.
All right, so let's get into that. After Beckham and Evans, who's next? Who's the next wide receiver? You tell me here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Antonio Brown, according to the 3 experts at this table,
AB84,
is that's here by himself. After that, I think we agree in some order. It'll be Mike Evans and Odell Beckham Jr. Now, that's here by themselves, but that's... you don't agree with that.
Well, see, this is the thing. I rank Julio Jones number 2. doesn't mean I'm drafting him number two.
Can we get into that?
Yes, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Rank Julio Jones number two, but you're not taking him number two. Then what the hell is the point of ranking him number two?
Because I think he is. It's hard. I mean, look, I'm trying making the case that he's there with Antonio Brown. Look what this guy's done the last three. He caught like what seven last season? He caught 83 passes and had over 1,400 yards. I mean, the talent is undeniable. I'm just worried about that foot. So now if I'm in a league and I feel more certain, I mean, Odell's a little crazy too, don't get me wrong, but I feel the health-wise, he's less risky. So that's why I took Odell five in that draft over Jones. I really wanted to take Julio Jones, but as Dr. Ray has pointed out and stuff with the foot, it's giving me pause. He's not going to fall too far after that for me. But that's why I want to say, like, I'm going to rank Julio Jones number two. I can't see not ranking him second. But I might take Odell Beckham come September, once again, as the number two wide receiver.
But all those points are valid. But to his question, like, if you're going to rank him second, why not take him second? If you're going to give out advice, too, are you not going to tell people to take Julio Jones second?
Well, here's the thing. Oh, you
Oh, Lord. Scott, we had the same conversation with you ranking Russell, with you projecting Russell Wilson to be Joe Montana last month. And what are you doing, Scott?
I'm changing my rankings.
Here's the thing about this with the rankings. And with ranking somebody here, look, I have Odell 3.
You're going to let me hang it, Scott?
What? Yeah. You guys are right. So then I'm turning around to Matt and asking him the same question.
I will explain. Yeah. I have Jones 2, Odell Beckham 3. So they're right there. And if I'm going to be putting up a lot of money, I want to kind of make sure I'm getting the guy that could be on the field. I'm worried about the foot. I think it's a valid concern. If the foot was not an issue, like, you know, like in baseball, like they'll do 600 plate appearances. I think it's 16 games. I'm taking Julio Jones. And I think the guy's proven it. I love the offense. I love that it's indoors. It's, you know, he's going to play at least 9 games in a dome. Everything lines up great for him. He's, you know, I love that division, everything. But I am a bit concerned. So when push comes to shove, and also with rankings, so that's why I don't like rank top, you know, like a top 150. Because it comes down, after the first two rounds, it's pretty much going to come down to roster construction.
Position,
You want to say best player off the board the first two, three rounds, that's fine. But I'm going to be, depending upon where I'm picking and who falls to me in that first round, I'm going to be setting up. I could change. You know, you have to audible and be ready to audible at any time.
Sure.
But I'm going to have a plan going in. That's why I do like, if you can do it, have your draft pick before the draft.
All right, so you have Odell Beckham and you have Mike Evans. This is just Matt. He has Odell Beckham, he has Mike Evans, he has Julio Jones, and he has AJ Green in this tier of four. That is him.
Can I say one thing, though?
Of course.
I feel like all the points you made are great. With all due respect, though, I feel like you still didn't answer the question, though. If I'm using your rankings, who are you going to tell me to take number two?
I think Julio Jones is the second best receiver, if not the best. If healthy, he could be the best receiver. Okay, if healthy,
the best player.
It comes with a caveat.
So you're going to tell me to take him number two?
I'm going to put him number two. I can't put him below that. I want to put Beckham there, but I'm saying I might take Beckham if I have a lot of money on the line. I'm going to take the guy that I think can play the 16 games, as to the guy that I'm going to project.
Well, I got a lot of money on the line. I'm playing in the NFFC, and
don't take Julio Jones.
I have my
NFFC. I'm probably going to take Odell Beckham.
So you got to rank him number two then, right?
But that's what's same as you with your projections and your rankings, guys. It's the same thing. Matt's
and you're correct on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I'm saying
I'll move on.
He has I'm stating the caveat there of the foot. Like Dr. Ray pointed it out. I'm giving you all the points to why I might not take him as the number two guy. I if he plays 16 games, you guarantee me 16 games, I have no problem taking Julio Jones second. He might even be the best receiver.
There you go.
He might be number one overall.
I don't disagree with any of that, but I feel like if you're going to take a guy number two, then you got to rank him.
So hold on. Okay. So then if I have a top 150, I got to follow that board the whole
way. I'm just talking about your wide receiver rankings.
Okay, but
I'm with you on what you say about the 150.
Look, I want it. Like I said, maybe I will take Julio. I don't know. But if the tiebreaker is who's going to be on the field to me, it's going to be Beckham.
There you go.
It still comes down to ranking Beckham, too, I think.
But it's so funny. This is the same exact argument we had a month ago with you. It's hysterical. I love it. I love it. I love that you can come
yes,
around.
You guys won that debate.
I'm with you, and I'm posing that
to Matt.
And I completely understand it. Now, going back to the question here, Scotty, ultimately, for Matt, it does come Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, and A.J. Green in a bit of a tier, those four wide receivers. Do you agree that those four wide receivers should be grouped together?
Those four.
Yes,
top three we just talked about in Green. I think why people are getting off Green because he played 10 games 2 years ago. I mean, last year. But 2 years ago, you look at his numbers, and they're on par with any of those guys that we talked about. I think when A.J. Green got a little bit banged up and he played 13 games 2 years ago, I think that's kind of what keeps him out of the tier a little bit. But then you can make the case that Julio is, you know, gets injured as well.
Definitely.
So I'm okay with him, you know, putting him number four. I've loved A.J. Green when he was healthy. You know, Corey and I used to call him, you know, what do we call him, Minitron, because he reminded us of Calvin Johnson early in his career. I'm okay with having him number four, but I believe, and it's fair, after coming off a 10-game season, people are not going to quite put him in the top three tier.
Listen, I changed it on Saturday. I was going through the wide receiver rankings.
Yep.
I had T.Y. Hilton at four. I loved T.Y. Hilton.
So sorry, before you go on. So everybody here has Julio Jones. Oh, sorry. Including Antonio Brown. Got it. Continue. Sorry.
So basically, this weekend, I went in there and I changed it. I had T.Y. Hilton at four. I love T.Y. Hilton. Check into the T.Y. Hilton. He's going to have another monster season this year.
Is Paris there too?
As long as homeboy is healthy, Andrew Luck. But until we find out what's going on with Andrew Luck, I moved A.J. Green up to number four. Because A.J. Green, this kid is crazy. If he plays 16 games, we're talking about 90 receptions, 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. Oh, well, you got this guy now. You got Mixon there. And you got John Ross. And you got none of these dudes are going to be on the effing field. The only one that's going to be on the field is going to be A.J. Green. And when A.J. Green plays, he is so reliable. Last time he played 16 games in 2015, 86 receptions, 1,300 yards, and 10 touchdowns. That's what he does. When he played 16 games in 2013, 98 receptions, 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. A.J. Green is a pound-for-pound guy right up there with Julio Jones. Julio's injuries are chronic. A.J. Green have these little fluke-type things, but if Green plays 16, he can very easily finish as wide receiver one.
And to Corey's point, A.J. Green, he makes it about the difference about him that maybe something he has over guys like Beckham and Evans is, his supporting cast is not nearly as good as the other guys. So I think Carson Palmer will target him more maybe this year.
Carson Palmer.
I'm sorry.
He's been the quarterback for the 15 years, Scott.
Andy Dalton. I think Bengals think Carson Palmer. Andy Dalton could maybe end up targeting him more than, you know, Evans and Beckham get targeted this year. It's not crazy.
Do you think, Corey, where do you have Julio Jones then?
I got Julio Jones number nine. So listen,
number two, number nine.
I have Julio Jones. I got Julio Jones number nine. I just worry about the nagging foot injuries, not to mention the nagging foot injuries. So say you don't want to say, oh, I'm not buying the foot injuries. We know how Julio get down. He's a pound for pound type guy. One of the best players in the NFL. That amazing catch in the Super Bowl. I mean, you knew Julio Jones was going to be a it factor from the time that he got into the NFL. But if you look at the game log, 4 for 66, 1 for 16, 2 for 29, 3 for 29, 4 for 35, a zero catch game, 4 for 60. They tend to ignore Julio Jones. A lot of times, you know why they're ignoring him? Because he's not healthy and he's not running the routes. So even when he's on the field, sometimes Julio can be taken out of games. I do not like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes they overlook him in the red zone, and you know, people watching the games, especially Falcon fans, going, well, what are you doing?
I look at these wide receivers, and we're always looking for safety, and I get why that's why Julio Jones is number nine for Corey, that safety factor. But that is literally the difference that you can see in people's opinions in the first round. Matt's going to take Julio Jones in the middle of the first round. I can assure you of that.
Yes. He will. I'm going to have to take him.
I'm not going to have him.
Touch him in the first round.
I'm not. Only way I have him if I buy him, you know, in an auction.
When we did these declarations last week, your declaration should be, I'm not going to own Julio Jones this year, because that's what it basically is.
I'll buy him in an auction.
Why? Because you're not going to get him for cheap.
Huh?
It's not going to happen.
He's your number nine rank, and he goes up to a high bid.
Someone
might
in your
out.
Auction is going to feel like Matt feels about him.
So I was like, so I'll take a shot. Like, you know what? I'm going to spend $100 on three wide receivers.
I don't think one of them will be Julio Jones then.
I can get Julio Jones for 35.
You will not get Julio Jones for 35.
No, I can get Julio Jones for... If I got to go 40 if I want him.
But you don't want him. That's the point.
If he's number 9, why are you going to go that high?
If I want to have him, I want to have him in an auction where I can construct the team to where it's safety around him in case something does happen to the foot. Then I can be like, okay, bet I can go to the bench, pop somebody in. I already got 2 stud wide receivers already. So like you said, if I can get 3 wide receivers for $100 in an auction... Yeah, I'll rock with Julio.
Scott, would you take Julio? Would you take Julio Jones after Evans, Beckham, and Green?
I would take him before Green.
You take him before Green.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as much as I do like Green.
So you're really with Matt here on this Julio Jones thing. Then you're very much so with Matt.
I'm pretty much Brown, Evans, Beckham, then Julio.
I would put it for me: Brown, Beckham, Evans, then Julio, then Green. I'm there. So I'm the same as you. Except Beckham and Evans. That's the switch.
2-2A for me. Yeah. You know.
So that's kind of that glut right there. But we're still not at the end of the first round, unbelievably enough. There's a couple of more wide receivers that could go at the end, which is where we're going to get to on the other side of the break. The Roto Experts in the Morning, day one of fantasy football season, round one of fantasy football season, continues on next. So we've sat here all morning long going through the first round of the fantasy football draft with Scotty going to extremes over there. And, wait, may I ask you something, Scotty? What was this move?
This is when you twirl a drumstick, like a lot of drummers.
But you're playing
do.
The guitar, I thought.
No, I'm doing the drums, oh. See?
Okay, right.
Yeah, I'm twirling the drumstick.
So what was this? Oh, you twirl.
I'm twirling the drums. Yeah. Sometimes you throw it out to the crowd, too, you know?
Oh, okay.
It's a collectible.
There's no crowd, Scott.
Wait a minute. There's air drums, there's air guitar, there is an air crowd. All right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Air crowd.
Oh, yeah. Do they make noise?
Suspect.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, so then... We've talked
six
about,
summer 69 Sussman.
So we talked about the top running backs. We talked about the top crew of wide receivers. And then you get to this end of this first round where you can take one of the running backs we spoke of before, Ajayi, Jordan Howard, DeMarco Murray, or you can take one of these wide receivers. And then there's this little crew that I want to know where everybody sits on them. Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, and Michael Thomas. I think
we got to put T.Y. in there.
T.Y. Hilton, I'm sorry. I had him above that, so I forgot to write him in. And T.Y. Hilton, of course. Nelson, Bryant, Hilton, and Thomas. These four guys are arguably first-rounders, arguably two guys, or all guys can be wide receiver ones on your team, that if you're picking at the end of the first round, you very well could have one of them as a wide receiver too, which is pretty damn awesome.
Yep.
So, Scott, let's start with you here for this one, with these four guys, with Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, and Michael Thomas. First question is, do you believe they are all first-rounders? Second question is, how would you rank them?
Do I believe they're all first-rounders? No, I think you can get one of them in the second round, maybe two.
Okay.
I would definitely rank Jordy first. I don't see anything changing for him. Still going to be a touchdown monster, still... That team, I don't believe in the defense. They're going to be involved in a lot of shootouts. They're going to have to throw a lot. For me, Jordy's clearly the number one there, definitely because of the touchdowns, too. I would want to rank Dez second, but I can't because of the health. You know, although I think Dez might end up being second on this list, I just can't recommend to people to draft him second out of this list. I think I'm going to go T.Y. Hilton because I think the Colts might have a little bit of improved protection this year. I think the touchdown numbers go up a little bit. He could catch about 8-9 touchdowns. I think it's legitimate. I'll go with Michael Thomas. No, you know what? I'm going to go Dez next because I just feel like Dez is just going to have such a monster year. I may regret putting him behind Hilton, but I love Dez so much this year. And the only reason I rank Hilton, rank Thomas fourth is he just doesn't have the track record of these other guys. There are questions in New Orleans. The beat writers have said he's being asked to replace Cooks. Now, not just numerically, but from a leadership role among the wide receivers. Can he step up and do that? We have to see.
Corey, I know you've been the low guy on Michael Thomas. I thought you disliked Michael Thomas, but the lower guy. But yeah. I know you're also, you've also stated on our show that you're going to see yourself with less shares than everybody else on Jordy Nelson. So how would you rate these four guys?
I'm going my son T.Y. Hilton, checking to the T.Y. Hilton. Then I go Dez Bryant. Then I go Jordy Nelson. I don't know. I just feel like it's always somebody better on the turn. That's kind of where Jordy's going. I'll probably be underexposed. I still do like Jordy Nelson. He's a dynamic red zone target, number one in that passing game. I just like players better. I like Dez better. And T.Y., that's it.
You like them better. How come? Because like you said, nothing changes for Jordy, right? This is a dude that is another year removed from the knee injury, that put up all these touchdowns last year, all these yards, all these receptions. And you have a guy in front of him in Dez Bryant who, you know, hasn't been healthy.
Yeah, but how'd they finish down the stretch last year when Dez came back from the injury? See,
they
probably were very similar. If not, Dez might have finished higher.
All right, I'll take a look at it for you.
And then Dez Bryant is a better football player. You worry about Dez because of the injuries, you know, mm-hmm. and his style of play leads to a lot of injuries. Michael Thomas is not in the discussion with these guys, to be honest with you. I know he was great last year, top target in that great offense. I'm just like, slow down. Once again, second-year player. Things would be a little bit more difficult for him this season, especially as he's starting to garner that them looks from the number one cornerbacks. He's not going to sneak up on nobody. Still think he has a good season. It's just that I'm a little bit lower on Jordy and Michael Thomas and everybody else. Still love them. Talking about guys that are 7 and 9 in my rankings. I don't have them 4 like Jake does, but I, you know, like I said, Jordy's at 7. No issue with that. He's just a player that I'm just like, is probably going to be somebody more intriguing. I'll take Devonta Freeman before I take Jordy Nelson.
Okay.
I'll take Melvin Gordon before I take Jordy Nelson.
That's really the question that mm-hmm. becomes, right?
I just got one question for him, though. You said why Dez over Jordy.
Yes.
But why T.Y. Hilton over Jordy?
Why T.Y. Hilton over Jordy? Yeah. Oh, T.Y. Hilton's been in that offense for years now. That's Andrew Luck's go-to guy. You saw what T.Y. did last year. Oh, another thing about T.Y., I like the fact. On the injury report, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday morning, out on the field.
Yeah, I'm going to say T.Y. Hilton as well, and I'll back this up. Even if he gets his 3-year average here, say he, you know, 140 targets, basically 80 receptions, 1,300 yards, half a dozen touchdowns. Look, if Jordy's touchdowns come down a little, say like Devontae Adams creeps up mm-hmm. and Randall Cobb's more involved, T.Y. Hilton is like 27 years old. I don't know. I have it Hilton. I do have Jordy after him. The Dez Michael Thomas thing is interesting. I might lean Thomas just because of the offense, how pass heavy they are compared to the Cowboys. But that's more of a coin toss for me on that one. But for me, T.Y. Hilton, as long as Andrew Luck is healthy, I think he's the guy to go with here. And it's not a knock on Jordy, but Jordy's, like I said, he's another year older. And if Devontae Adams increases and Cobb, you got to look at the other thing. And now they got Marty Bennett. Maybe he doesn't catch 14 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns. Maybe it's 9-10, which is only 3 or 4 more than T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton's going to get the yards. He's going to get 1,300 yards. So I'm with T.Y.
One quick thing. Sophomore slump. I think it's haunted house crap. Okay? It's not happening to Dak Prescott. I think... Even though I ranked Jordy
Prescott
first.
Dak Prescott got a tough schedule.
Well then it's not happening to Michael Thomas. Though,
that's all based on last year. I don't care. Dak Prescott, I think Dez Bryant could end up being the number one guy on this list. But only health is the only reason I don't rank him first.
For me, I'm going to go with Jordy Nelson first. I think that if you compare, because I do have T.Y. Hilton second. And I think if you compare the two, you can bring the touchdowns down for Jordy Nelson. T.Y. Hilton's never going to be this big red zone target. Mm-hmm. That's just not the type of player he is. Jordy did have more receptions than T.Y. last year. I know Hilton left a couple games banged up. Did wind up playing, as you said, when it's Sunday he winds up playing. The yards are more for Hilton. I think just based on the thought that he's going to have a couple more touchdowns, I think receptions will be pretty similar. That's why I go with Jordy over T.Y. But I do have it Jordy Nelson, then I have T.Y. Hilton. And I get into the Michael Thomas, Dez Bryant thing. And it's interesting because I think I'm going to have Michael Thomas ahead of Dez. But I think there's a better chance I went up with Dez on my teams only because if Michael Thomas is the top guy on the board, I'm going to like someone more, kind of like what Corey was saying.
And your point real quick about Dez having a tough schedule, I don't care. I believe that the best produce against the best. I believe that when he faces Josh Norman twice, that Josh Norman is going to get the worst of it at least once. And the most uncoverable wide receiver in the red zone in the NFL is Dez Bryant.
Yeah, tell that to Janoris Jenkins, by the way.
Yeah, but
he'll get Jenkins for one
look,
this
year. Dez will ask about Michael Thomas as well. And if you say you don't believe in the sophomore slump crap, then Michael Thomas is right there.
Sure.
So it's tough. I mean, and there is a difference in schedules and stuff. He's, you know, the Giants are a really good defense, mm-hmm. and stuff like
they
that.
They are.
So it's going to be, but Chris Vaccaro made a great point. He said, who could possibly be this year's Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins?
Sure.
And that's why when he took Dez over Michael Thomas in the FSTA, and his reason was he could see Michael Thomas being that guy who is this year's Allen Robinson.
The regression dude. Yeah.
So, and that's another reason why I kind of like Willie Snead a lot, too. Because Willie Snead's
going to
move into a role where he's going to, you know, who's ever the open guy is going to get the ball. That's the bottom line.
And that's always the case. And in New Orleans, they do spread the ball around, probably more so than all these other teams.
All this said, I still don't hate Michael Thomas. I want that.
Not at all.
I want that point clear.
Not at all.
You know. Do you think Jenkins is going to shut down Dez every time he faces him? Not going to happen.
I certainly hope so.
Janoris Jenkins? Are you serious?
He did last year.
Oh, my God. Stop it with Janoris Jenkins.
The Giants defense
please don't put Janoris Jenkins on the same field as Dez Bryant.
They were, and Janoris got the better of him twice.
Who won the damn division?
When you play head-to-head and you lose twice, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. Hey.
They both ended up in the same place.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad. That's that lady. My bad.
He's like, I take back my A. I'm sorry.
I need that one
that's
back.
Oh.
Yeah, I need that one back. No, that's not for you, young lady.
All right. So those are the guys. So those are the wide receivers, and those are basically all of your first round, all of your potential first rounders, 1 to 12 that we've broken down here on the program here today. And ultimately, what it comes down to, you can use Corey's rankings, you can use Scotty's rankings, you can use Matt's, you can use mine, it doesn't matter. You got to do what you feel and what you feel is best. Don't just, and Matt really gave a perfect example. He has Julio Jones ranked 2. And Scott gave him a hard time, rightfully so, about Julio 2 and drafting Odell 2. But that's what Matt feels, right? Like, he may have Julio there, and you may be using Matt Modica's rankings where Julio's 2, but if you feel safer drafting Odell,
I mean,
draft Odell.
I want to put Julio 1, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Do it, man.
But you can draft.
No, I don't need to make make a statement kind of.
But you can draft.
My man, do it.
Your own way. Use your own rankings, your own tiers. You just use what we have for guidelines.
Build, have a game plan, build a team that you think is going to be, I mean, build a team you want and a team that you think is going to be most competitive. That's the attack you have to have.
I think the other perfect example is what Corey was saying. I mean, Corey has Julio Jones number 9 on his list, on his big board for wide receivers. But he said in an auction, he's going to take Julio Jones and build around him just to have that exposure. So even the guy that's lowest in Julio Jones wants a piece. So there you go. Those are all of your first rounders. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jake Seeley and preview the first edition of the Fantasy Football Frenzy, part of the Roto Experts block here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Stick around. We will wrap up the program coming up next. Final 5 of the Roto Experts in the morning, part of the Roto Experts block here on the Fantasy Sports Network. And that block continues from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here with Fantasy Football Frenzy presented by Roto Experts. Corey Parson will host that show alongside Matt Modica and our guest at this time. It's the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
He's speechless, so happy.
I'm doing good.
Oh. Yeah, for a minute, Scott, I thought you was him.
Yeah.
He was all nervous. He's doing good.
I'm looking back at my ranks from last year. I'm top 5, and I'm feeling good.
So Jakey, of course, part of the Fantasy Football Frenzy. And I'm really interested because I know the three of you guys really disagree a lot, and that's what makes to make the show fun. I know, Matt, you've gone back and forth with Jake on Twitter. Corey, you've gone back against Jake on a bunch of shows that you guys have done. And you're all very starting into your own ranking. So it's going to be really interesting, Gore.
No, it should be real interesting. Got a good time. Like you said, got a nice first program coming up for everybody watching on TV and everybody listening on the radio for free. Make sure you retweet, you know what I'm saying? So we got Mike Jones from the Washington Post talk some DC football, and a little bit later on in the second hour, my son Tommy G had joined the program, so he's already up and tweeting, so we should
You're
be good
dad?
Time. Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if Jake knows that, because Jake joins the program right now. What's going on, Jakey? Still too nervous.
He's getting it together.
Yeah, he's getting ready for the first.
Might have to be me and Madika. He got butterflies in his tummy. That's Stay what trying. It is.
Yeah. He's a little nervous going head to head with Madika.
He saw the tie and, you know, yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
You're looking real sharp. You're kind of wearing my t-shirt and underwear.
You're kind of wearing the tie like Jake does, Matt. Like you have it like a little, like not all the way up.
Ah, that must have slid down. I hate that. So we'll have to fix that.
Because that's the Jake's
suit. That's not good.
It's not a Wall Street style.
No.
You can't do that on Wall Street.
You don't do that. Maybe in Virginia Beach that's acceptable, but no.
There are ties in Virginia Beach.
Scott got his name on his shirt.
Yep. I'm gonna be honest with you, this Jake impression is not doing it for me.
What?
Yeah, no,
this Jake impression is not doing it for me at all.
That's okay. Like it.
You have some good ones.
You have some good ones. I don't think this is one.
Terry Collins
is a classic.
What is Terry Collins thinking of Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up?
I'm in a goddamn injury frenzy. What the hell I care about fantasy football, goddammit.
Is Terry Collins?
Guy called himself a damn executive, don't even have a damn suit.
Hey, Terry Collins. Terry Collins. Nobody's talking to you. Leave me out of this. Because you're going to be...
I'm talking to you.
You're going
to
be...
You want to take me outside, I'll beat you up in your kneecaps.
You're going to be unemployed. You're going to be unemployed next year,
I'm
Terry
I'm
going to
be unemployed.
Collins.
I'm coming for your job, now, damn it.
Nah, you can't.
Yeah.
It's already
Corey,
been tried.
I can do
What's
it myself.
Up?
Corey, we got two minutes of the program left. What do you think of Gordon Hayward, now a member of the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I thought I saw the way it came out that he was going to the Heat. And then I woke up and I was like, they got the piece that they wanted. You know, this was a guy they were talking in the offseason. I think he comes in, helps solidify that roster. He's still not going to be better than LeBron James' team.
I think Hayward, the Celtics, basically wanted to reunite with Brad Stevens, and now he had his opportunity to do so. Really hurts the Jazz. Really, we're making some improvements, acquiring Ricky Rubio, and I thought really going in the right direction.
They make the first playoff for the first few time in a few years. They still got some good pieces, but that sets their rebuilding back. You know, the rebuilding problem back. But it's interesting because, like, when Thomas is off the floor now you got Hayward, there's more offensive balance there.
The Clippers' contract with Blake Griffin is horrible.
Insane.
The thing with Boston bringing Gordon Hayward in, your best player can't be 5'6".
I understand.
Exactly.
And now you have Gordon Hayward. The Blake Griffin contract, I agree, is horrible. They're just not good enough. And even acquiring Danilo Gallinari in the three-team deal, which brings Gallinari to the Clippers, it'll bring Millsap to Denver and Atlanta, gets a guy like Diamond Stone back, who went to the University of Maryland. It's going to be
Ding.
Awesome. I think it's interesting. I also found it interesting that George Hill winds up in Sacramento with De'Aaron Fox there. I've been looking at some veteran leadership with the Kings, acquiring George Hill and Zach Randolph.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very interesting. Fantasy Football Friends of the Debate, the debut episode is up next. For Matt Modica, for Scott Engel, and for Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Road to Experts in the Morning. See ya!